So, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. They're young, but they're dead.
Yeah. Well, I hope you had a good New Year's time on the 31st and going into the 1st. And we certainly enjoyed our Christmas and our New Year's. We had our son Jamie and his wife Cassie and our granddaughter Jaden, which some of you met here, and we had a great time. The only thing that would have made it better was if our daughter Johnny had been able to join us. That didn't turn out really well, did it? But anyway, that's us in front of our fireplace.
So we're talking about the new year. How many of you made New Year's resolutions? What? Only what? Okay, so for those of you who have been, you know, decided you're going to make resolutions, what are your resolutions? Shout them out.
Go to church more often.
Go to church more often. That's what our son said that. Talk to family. I like that. Talk to family. Will you talk to my son so he'll talk to his family more often? What else? What?
Be on time.
That's a good one. Every single time you have to be on time? Okay. How about you?
I just want to love people more.
Okay. Love people more. That's a good one. Anybody else?
Write a book and get it published.
Woohoo! Girl after my own heart. Okay, so how about you, Jim? You have any resolutions?
I didn't raise my hand. I don't do resolutions
anymore. Oh, so stubborn.
You know, let's think about it. You know, I say, yeah, look, all right, I'm going to work out 6 days a week, and I might even recruit Rob to work out with me. How long does that last?
Not long.
6 days.
Hey.
Is that 6 days?
Yeah.
Sorry, 6 days, that's it.
Yeah. Whatever.
Well, so from now on, instead of asking you if you've made any resolutions, I just need to ask you if you have made any plans. Is that right?
Well, yeah, I find that I'm better off if I've got a plan instead of a resolution. You know, the Bible doesn't talk about resolutions, but there is the idea of planning and then trusting God in the midst of our plans. If you go to Proverbs 16, it's got probably the most references to planning than any other proverb. Verses 3 and 9 are my favorites. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. So that's that idea of commitment to God. And then the verse 9, the heart of man plans his way. We think about it, we plan our way, but it's the Lord that actually establishes our steps.
So there is the idea of planning versus resolution.
Yes, dear.
Yes. So do you have some plans for this coming year?
I'll talk about those later.
Okay. Well, this idea of planning is scriptural. And Jim and I decided that we needed to come up with a plan a few years ago. And so we just want to share with you this plan in the hopes that maybe it will help you in 2015. There are many things that can come up that you're not expecting. Well, we had to come up with this plan about 7 years ago. It was 2007 when Jim was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And at that time, they discovered that they were going to have to do surgery. Some of you know this story, and many of you don't. But he did have surgery. But 2 weeks later, after the surgery, they discovered they had left a gauze in the surgical area. So they had to go back into that area 2 weeks to the day and open the area to remove the gauze. But unfortunately, during that second surgery, the anesthesia didn't work. He was asleep, but his body could feel every single cut that the surgeon made. It was traumatic, to say the least. And then the situation kind of escalated because during that same time, they did discover that Jim had a secondary cancer called chronic lymphocytic leukemia, CLL. It was a difficult, very traumatic experience, wasn't it, to say
yes,
the
it
least.
Was.
So 14 months later, however, I had a doctor's appointment, just a routine appointment, to come to find out that I, too, had cancer, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So some of you know that over this past year, I've had to go through 6 months of chemotherapy treatment for this cancer. And I do thank God and praise God that that cancer is in total remission. So
Amen.
Praise God with us.
Thank you.
However, you can imagine during this very traumatic time that we needed to come up with a plan that would help us to communicate in our marriage, mm-hmm. and a plan that would hopefully help other individuals or couples that might be experiencing some difficulties to go through a similar situation, maybe. And maybe this plan would help them. So the plan was simply this. The P stood for putting others first. The L was learning. A was action. We needed to take action. And finally, the N was to need others. So let's start with the P. That was putting the other person first. And we wanted to find a scripture verse that would support this idea of our plan. And it came from Philippians 2:4, which says, each of you should look out not only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. So the plan was simply this, in putting the other person first. On Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, it was all about me. So I could talk about anything that was bothering me, how I was feeling emotionally, physically, or spiritually. And it was all about Jesus. So that way, it took the focus off of our own needs and wants and put it on the other person, knowing full well that the next day would belong to us. So how many of you have a deployed spouse right now or have gone through a recent deployment? Anybody? Okay. This is a great tool to use when you're on a deployment because sometimes you can feel like the other person, you have it worse than the other person. So what you want to do is start focusing on putting the other person first. So that's what the P stands for.
And then L was learning. So for us, it was, you know, doing the obvious. We had, she had follicular lymphoma, I had CLL, and neither one of us knows what that means. And so we go to the National Cancer Institute, we go to the Lymphoma Institute, and we begin to educate ourselves about the specifics of what we've got, the prognosis, the treatment. And so when B needed treatment over these last 6 months, we kind of knew what was coming. And so, you know, as you look at this next year, and there may be some challenges ahead. And so are there areas where you need to start learning in a particular area to help prepare you? You know, our son and his daughter, as I said, we're blessed with a wonderful one-year-old girl, but the granddaughter, but Jaden has this weird thing. It's not uncommon to little kids to go bam, bam, bam on the floor. And so it's like, okay, Jamie and Cassie, you need to learn, thanks to Google, what is this with kids and banging their heads against the floor, you know? And Google actually had some good answers, good advice. And
so you're never too old to learn.
So, you know, it adds credibility to what the grandparents say. Then A is action. You know, you've got to learn, but then you have to take action. And so for us, we actually changed your diet. We began walking. We began exercising more. And so as you look at your next year, again, you're doing some learning, but then what are the action steps that you need to take?
And then finally, the N was needing others. We recognized that our need for other people was so much greater than we ever imagined. In fact, this community supported us this past year, especially in so many ways, through meals and just through your love, phone calls, magazines, so many ways that you had helped us in our need for one another. Because, you know, you're away from your extended families, aren't you? This becomes your extended family, and we have a great need for one another.
You know, those are all good things to plan for, but the bottom line is that we all need, if we're honest, we need help in our execution. And so today we want to consider the help that God gives us in our journey of faith. Just as he gave Mary and Joseph, if you look at the scriptures, he gave them help along the way to plan the birth of the Christ child, where they are supposed to journey to, and how they were going to accomplish his will. He's also helped the saints through the centuries since, and he continues with us today. And so you've made your plans, you've done your learning, you've got some action steps you want to take, you recognize your need for others. But you need power to do this because it is beyond your own abilities. You know, I love being married to a creative woman. Bea and I go for walks and we get into these brainstorming sessions, and she comes up with great ideas, and she kind of helps me access my creative side. And so we were on this walk, and we said, okay, well, you're doing this PLAN deal. How do I transition that into power? And so Bea comes up with the idea that power, the next slide, please, the power of the Lord is all we need. And then Jim's two ideas was, well, how about we need all the Lord's power?
Nope.
Okay, I don't know what that is. How about all we need is the Lord's power?
ANLP,
you know, that's some sort of organization. I don't know. You know, but that's Jim's creative side, B's creative side. You know, so the bottom line, though, is how do you experience God's power? Yeah, a central teaching of the Bible, and it is one of the things that our missions organization crew emphasizes, is that God's power is experienced by two things. Number one, having that personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And the second thing is by allowing His Holy Spirit to control our lives by faith. You know, I don't know where you are on your spiritual journey, but if you look at these two circles, which one best represents your life? Maybe it's the Christ-directed life, where you've asked Jesus to come into your life as your Savior and Lord. He's actually on the throne of your life, and the self now is yielding to God. It's yielding to God's will. You allow the Holy Spirit to direct your interest, and you've got a relative harmony in your life. That's what that represents. Or maybe you're a self-directed Christian, where you've asked Jesus into your life, but He's no longer on the throne of your life. And believe it or not, God's going to allow you to make that choice. And so we find ourselves, we're working harder, we're trying to be good, but our interests are ultimately directed by self. We want our own way. And the consequence of that is our lives then generally will lack harmony. There's going to be a discord because our lives are now out of balance. Now, there's a third circle that's not represented here. And what is that? That is the non-Christian. And for that person, Christ is not in their life. And we are trying to rule our lives according to our own will, our own wisdom, and our own ways. We think that we know best. We don't need God. And ultimately, when this happens, our lives are not only in discord, but they're out of balance because they're lacking the most important element of life. And that's a personal relationship with God our Father, made possible through inviting Jesus into your life to forgive your sins and to be the Lord of your life. If you haven't done that, you can do that right now by simply praying something like this.
Lord Jesus, I want to know You and the Father personally. Thank You for dying on the cross for my sins. I receive You as my Savior and Lord, and I thank You for forgiving me and giving me the gift of eternal life. Take control of the throne of my life. Make me the kind of person You want me to be.
And when you receive Jesus into your life, He also gives you the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now, for those who know Jesus, we have to be realistic. Have you ever felt as if you've got no power? You know, you've asked Jesus into your heart, but you're doing the best you can, and you find, where's the joy? Where's the peace? How come I can't love this obnoxious person that's living with me?
Wait.
Not you.
Oh.
Me. Well, I have. And those times, number one, they're hard to understand. You really, it's like, what is going on? And they're also hard to go through. But I've learned God has allowed me to go through those times, I've learned that I need God in every area, big and small, of my life. Chaplain Hom challenged us last week from the lesson with Elijah and the prophets of Baal. He said, choose this day who you'll serve, which Joshua said that. Now the prophets are saying that. And now God is saying that to us even today. Choose this day who you will serve. Or you could say, I need to choose daily who I will serve. But even in my choices, those are little, sometimes big choices, I found that I need God's power. And so left on my own, I am prone to wander. I'm prone to leave the one I love.
So how do I experience God's power? It's a very important question. To experience the power of God, I must allow Him control of my life. And that's going to be enhanced by developing some habits, or what we call disciplines of control. So we're just going to list a few. The first is listening to God, and that is studying the Word of God. Now, Jim and I have periodically read through the Bible in an entire year using the daily walk. And it's kind of like skimming the top of the ocean. You know, you're never going to delve deep into the Bible that way, but it's a great way to learn the entire story, the meta-narrative of Scripture from beginning to end. So if you've never read through the entire Bible, we encourage you to do that. And there are many reading plans out there. Just go on your iWhatever and download an app called the YouVersion of the Bible. And it's got a lot of plans that you can choose from to use. That now, Chaplain Hom, as he said earlier, he challenged us to read through the New Testament last year, and several of us gave it a go.
A lot of us gave it a go.
Some finished, some took a longer time to do it, some never finished, but it was probably or could have been the first time anybody even attempted to try and read through the New Testament in 8 weeks. So, this year, he is challenging us to start reading through the Old Testament covenant history in 8 weeks. And he showed us the book. It's a great challenge. And the great thing about it is that there is a plan involved, a daily plan that you can follow. And again, you're going to just be skimming the surface. You're not going to be delving really deep during this 8 weeks. But you will learn so much. And then it's talking to God, the next discipline of control. And this we would call praying. So before we do our reading plan, what we're going to do is we're going to stop and pray first. And you might want to just say a simple prayer like this. Holy Spirit, please open my eyes and my heart to the wonder of your word. Teach me just one small thing today. So there's listening prayer and there's sharing prayer. But listening prayer is just being still before God and just waiting and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Because the Holy Spirit uses God's word and his creation to speak to us. Now, Jim and I could be reading the same exact verse and get something totally different out of it because the Holy Spirit is working in our lives in a certain way at a certain time. And the Holy Spirit never contradicts God's word, but he personalizes for us. And he shows us fresh applications. Even if you've read through the Bible in a year before, he's going to show you something amazingly new this year too.
So the third discipline is developing relationships with other believers. That's the church. And so the question is, are you involved in a small group? Chaplain Hom just did one of the strongest pitches he can.
He's passionate.
He's passionate about small groups. We're passionate about small groups. And so if you're not in a small group, sign up for one. You've got the opportunity. Sign up for an existing one, or if you want to start your own, start your own. We have developed incredible relationships with couples from the Milton Hall Chapel. That it's been over a period of 17 years that we've been here. And so whenever we go to the States, it doesn't matter if it's West Coast or Texas or wherever, we've got people to stay with. We've got people that we'll go and have a reunion with. And so I would encourage you to do that. We have found over 39 years of marriage that the basic idea of a neighborhood Bible study is incredible because you get to know people that live around you in ways that you can't know in any other way. That becomes your primary support group. And you also find that God gives you the opportunity to help those people on their own spiritual journey. And then the fourth discipline of control is this idea of understanding the Holy Spirit. Now, we usually don't talk much about the Holy Spirit, so there are misunderstandings about him. In the church calendar, there's really only one Sunday that is devoted to the Holy Spirit out of the entire year. But in both biblical and church theology, you'll find that the Holy Spirit is a part of our daily lives. And so we want to answer that question first. Who is the Holy Spirit? So help me out. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is the forgotten God. Shout it out. Who is the Holy Spirit?
Still small voice.
Still small voice, yep.
A comforter.
What else?
Don't cheat by looking at the screen.
Oh, they gave me answers away. Okay, yes. Well, yeah, he does many, many things. Still small voice, he is a comforter, but ultimately the Holy Spirit is God. He is the third person of the Trinity. He is co-equal with God the Father and God the Son. And you look at that egg, and that egg is, some people have used that as an analogy to try to describe the Trinity. I love eggs. And I know that an egg is one egg, and it's made up of three parts. It's got the shell, it's got the yolk, and it's got the white. Now, that definitely tells me something about an egg, but I'm not sure what it tells me about God. You can look at me. I'm one person, but I am a son, I'm a husband, and I'm a father. You know, the Bible doesn't really explain the Trinity. It just declares the Trinity. You could say that the Father is the planner, the Son is the executor, and the Holy Spirit is the power source. He is the Christian source of power to live a consistent lifestyle of love and obedience. Now, this is an area in my life where I had the head knowledge, but not the heart knowledge. I was a Christian when I married B, but I didn't understand my need for the Holy Spirit on an ongoing basis. And as many of you know, Bea and I went through a crisis in our marriage after 6 years. What you probably don't know is it just so happened that there was a class on the Holy Spirit that was offered. And so I went to that class without Bea. But God used that class to prepare me, Jim, for what he was going to do in my life. And what he did in my life was he broke me. He broke me of my sin, of pride, and selfishness, and disobedience. And then he remade me. And he gave me the power to love my wife, to love B the way that she needed me to be. I needed then, and I still need, the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in my daily life.
So that may be a question you've asked yourself. Why do I need God's power? And we're going to give you five reasons, but we're sure that there are more out there. We're sure that you could help fill in some of the gaps. But these are five reasons why we need God's Holy Spirit, His power. And first of all, it's to teach us how to live by guiding us to truth. John 14:26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." So you read the Bible differently because the Holy Spirit enlightens you and teaches you as you read. He gives you insights that you might have never heard before. You could have read a verse 100 times, and then suddenly this verse or this word or something pops out because the Holy Spirit is trying to reveal something to you. One man said that a dusty Bible leads to a dirty life. So we need to open the Bible. We need to put God's words in our heart so that we will know the right path to take and we will not sin, most importantly, against Him.
And so the second thing that the Holy Spirit does for us, that He convicts us of the presence of sin in our lives. The Holy Spirit is the one that convicted me of my sin against B, and He continues to convict me when I sin.
And then to help us forgive each other when wronged, from Ephesians 4:32. How many of you really, really, really wanted to forgive somebody but was incapable of doing it? I know I've been in that situation. But in order to forgive, because we can't do it in the power of our own flesh, we need the Holy Spirit to empower us to obey Jesus in every area of our lives and to become more like him and less like ourselves. And our natural tendency is to be unforgiving. And then to help us love each other unconditionally. So we forgive and we love. Galatians 5:22-33, it lists the fruit of the Spirit. And in John 13:34, Jesus commands us to love each other as he loves us. And once again, we cannot do this in the power of our own flesh. You might say, I really want to love you, but I can't do it. We need the Holy Spirit. And then finally, to help us be witnesses for Jesus, from Acts 1:8. As we allow God to control our lives on a daily basis, the Holy Spirit helps us in all of those areas and more. Like we said, there's many more that we can list, but the principle to remember is this, that the growing Christian life is the Spirit-filled life. The Holy Spirit provides the power you need to obey God on a daily basis. But have you ever been in a situation where the power has gone out?
Whoa, that's not good.
Oh, I don't need this. I'm already late.
Somebody will come. Anybody out there?
Do you have a phone?
No. Sorry. Somebody! Hello! There are two people stuck on an escalator and we need help. Now, would somebody please do something?
Help! Help! Help!
I don't believe this. You gotta be kidding me.
I'm going to cry.
Well, there's not enough left to do.
Somebody will come. Is there anybody out there? Somebody, please do something. Help. Well, the good news is that in God's plan, somebody did come. And his name is Jesus Christ. He came to enable us to have a relationship with our loving Heavenly Father, and he gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit provides the power that we need, if we're honest, to obey God on not just a daily basis, but a continuing basis. But what do you do when you fail? You know, you're trying to be the person that you sense God wants you to be, and you make a mistake. I don't know about you, but I don't like the concept of failure. When I fail, when I'm looking at myself, I get angry and I get frustrated. And if I'm honest with you, I have to say when B fails or Rob fails, or any of you fail, I also get angry and frustrated. And then if I'm real with myself, then I have to say, is that not a failure as well? And so the question, when I find myself in those areas, I'm struggling. And I find that the Holy Spirit does two things for me. First, he shows me very specifically where I'm wrong. And secondly, he shows me what to do about it. In essence, he tells me to take a spiritual breath. Spiritual breathing is similar to physical breathing. I exhale the bad air. And so everyone do like this cat. Go ahead and exhale and then hold your breath. So blow it out. Okay, you can inhale. You know, just as you exhale the bad air, you have to inhale the good air. And so let's look at spiritual breath. First you exhale, and that is the idea of confession. And confession is, number one, it's agreeing with God about my sin. Be specific. And this is where my mentor Don says, call sin, sin. Okay. But then you need to also recognize and agree with God about his provision for your sin. In 1 John 1:9, it tells us that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then there is the idea of repentance. And repentance is actually, the Greek word is a military term. It means to do an about face. So I'm going this way, which is my will. And the Holy Spirit says, stop. No, that's not the way you're supposed to do. And I'm saying, yes, now I agree with you, God. I'm going to go in this way. And now I'm going to follow God's will. And so that's exhale, confession. It can happen in an instant. And now there's the idea of inhaling. And this is appropriation according to first God's command. In Ephesians 5:18, God commands us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you look at that tense of that Greek word, number one, it's an imperative. It is a command. And number two, it's a present tense. So it's to be a continuous thing. And so you could translate it, be ye continually, constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. That's kind of how Paul is shouting to us with the urgency of a command and the fact that it's supposed to be constant and continuous in our life. And then we recognize that there is a promise in 1 John where it says that if we ask God anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if he hears us, we know that we have received that which we have asked. And so is being filled with the Holy Spirit God's will? Yes. So much so that he has commanded us to be filled. And so now I can give thanks. I told you this can happen like that. This is an example in Jim and B's life. Jim and B have gotten in an argument. Our neighbors can probably testify. We heard you coming through the walls, Jim. Not really. But we've gotten in an argument. I've spoken harshly to B. And I've withdrawn. I've gone off. And the Holy Spirit is kind of wrestling now with me. He's probably wrestling with B at the same time, but I just deal with myself. And the Holy Spirit's saying, Jim, what's going on? It's like, I'm angry. I'm frustrated with my wife. He says, well, okay. How'd you speak to her? Well, I didn't speak to her very nice. I was harsh with her. Well, what is that, Jim? What do I call that? Well, you call it sin. What do you need to do about this, Jim? I said, God, I know what I need to do. I just don't want to do it. I teach this stuff. I don't want to do it. And then the Holy Spirit in his kindness says, okay, well, let's wrestle a little bit more. And if you've ever been in that wrestling match with God, you know he's going to win. So you over time, you recognize, okay, let's not fight with God. He's convicted me of sin. The best thing for me to do is right away to say, yes, God, I see the ugliness for how I spoke to my beloved wife. I failed to love her the way that you love the church. I have failed to love her the way I love my own body. And so, God, forgive me. And now I thank you because the price has been paid. I thank you that you have now forgiven me and you've cleansed me from that unrighteousness. You've made that a reality in my life. And you know, God, that I don't want to walk in that direction. I want to walk in the direction of being a loving husband all the days of my life. And so would you fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit? And I thank you now that you have. And then I take the next step and I go up to B and I say, B, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And usually the Holy Spirit has been working in her, and so she finds it very easy at that point in time to say, yes, Jim, of course, I forgive you. Now, to help you remember this, I want to offer you a card that my mentor, Don Myers, put together. It's spiritual breathing. It has inhaling on one side, exhaling on the other. These will be on the small group tables, Albert, just so you know. They're on already on the table. So if you come back to the small group table, you can get one of these cards. And I would encourage you to practice spiritual breathing. You initially do this as an act of your will, because it's kind of a new concept. It was for me when I first learned about it. So you practice it, but then over time it becomes a habit. And this is really a life-changing habit. And once it becomes a life-changing habit where you don't need the card anymore, I don't need the card, then the idea is that you go and you give the card to somebody else and you say, you tell them about it and encourage them to go ahead and practice spiritual breathing as well. Now, we were in a small group Bible study that covered the Holy Spirit, and we looked at those two circles that represented the self-directed, or some people call it the worldly Christian, and the Christ-directed life. And so when we asked that question in our small group, which description best fits you? These are two of the responses. Sometimes I feel like I'm playing musical chairs. Another person shared, sometimes I feel like a leaky balloon. I'm filled with the Spirit, but I have a small leak. I love those answers because they are real. And they come out of the transparency of a small group. I would never have gotten those two answers on my own. And that's the beauty of a small group. Bob Horner, a friend of ours, and he's a speaker for Family Life and Crew, he used to say, did you know living the Christian life is not easy? And most people would say, oh yeah, no duh. And then he would say, actually, it is impossible. And then he would continue and say, there's only one man who has ever lived the perfect Christian life. But he lived 2,000 years ago, and his name is Jesus Christ. But Jesus wants to live his resurrection power in and through you through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, I may play musical chairs, you know, going from one to the other, and I've done that. But if I don't know about the Spirit's chair, where am I going to stay? Most likely, I'm going to stay on that chair called self. And so knowing about the Spirit's chair enables me to make a choice where I want to be and then trusting God to allow me to stay there on His chair for longer and longer periods of time. That's a process that's going to continue all of my life, all of our lives, until Jesus comes. And so which circle best represents your life right now? Where do you want to be? Or more importantly, I could say, where does God want you to be? He wants you to be filled with the Spirit. He wants you to have an abundant, fruit-bearing life that brings Him glory, and it proves that you are a follower of Jesus. And so if you've never asked God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, you can do that right now through a simple spiritual breath. And I'm going to read a prayer. It may sound like this. If you agree with me, you can just pray along with me. So let's just pray. Abba, Father, I confess that I have been in control of my own life. And as a result, I have sinned against you. I invite you to have unhindered access to all of my life. Fill me with the Holy Spirit as I now allow you complete control of my life. As an expression of my faith, I now thank you for directing my life and filling me with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, again, I want to encourage you to practice spiritual breathing until it is as natural as regular breathing. And remember that the plan, let's go up one more slide, please. Okay. Well, no, that's not it. Wow. Back up. Or just black it all out. Yeah, thank you. Just remember the plan as we look at the new year. It is best summarized as the power of the Lord, the power of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is all we need.